The problem with it being so simple is that we run out of words.
Yeah, but this is the natural state then, because any word is then back to thought again, so...
Yes. Yeah, all that's left is the laughter.
So in your retreats you laugh a lot, I assume.
Yeah, usually about the first half of it is quite intense, and a lot of stuff comes up for people, like I said. And then about halfway things start changing and opening, and we start laughing and playing. We play a lot, you know. There's we play with each other. We play in a very creative way. I get people to do all kinds of crazy things.
Do you do things like such dynamic meditations and such stuff, or not?
No meditations, nothing formal like that at all. We paint, we dance, we dress up in all kinds of crazy clothes, and we make our own outfits, and I can't even think of all the other things we do. I mean, yeah, and that, you know, we also make up new things to do each time. You know? We play like children, because that's what we really want to do, you know.
We've been
pretending to be grown up for too long, you know. It's so boring and tiring. You know, we all long to just play and let it all go. So yeah, it's a kind of combination of sitting in meetings together and exploring some of that quite intense stuff that is there to be felt, and seeing the reality of those beliefs and concepts.
Mm.
And then also doing some of these crazy things, these crazy playful things that sometimes trigger more stuff for people, and then we talk about it again in the meetings. And sometimes it's just simply playful and light, and we just start feeling more and more free. And by the end of the retreat, it's not that people are so fully free that then that's it, they've arrived at some place, but it's that there is somehow more of a spaciousness to actually keep seeing beliefs and concepts for what they really are, to keep feeling in your daily life the reality of these uncomfortable sensations that can come up, you know, and see that this too doesn't mean anything about me. And it's a never-ending unraveling that happens in life. And a retreat is just a beautiful introduction to the rest of your life.
Mm.
Sometimes people come back again and again to retreats for more exploration. You know, it's 'cause in a way it's really that. It's an exploration into what is true, what you really know beyond thinking.
Mm. I had personally also some stuff, and somehow I came in to this path, I believe, or whatever it is, this state, and there were some uncomfortable things and trauma stuff. And what I found so far when going into it and investigating it, in the end, I always find if there is any strange state or pain, it's at the end there is a thought it should be different. When this, I had this 3 or 4 times, and then I say, the pain is not necessary. It's just there must be an erroneous thought. It should be different. That's my experience.
And that thought it should be different is really it's based in this belief that it should be different for me. You know, that's really the continuation of that thought. I want it to be different because this uncomfortable experience means something about me. It means that I'm not fully there yet. I'm not fully awakened, or whatever you believe.
Yeah, it's just a belief. A belief is running. It's not okay in the way it is.
Yeah.
So that creates the uncomfortable situation. That's the only cause for uncomfortable situations.
Well, I mean, there may be some pain, let's say, some emotion that comes up, but there's usually an extra layer around that pain that is kind of a layer of drama, a layer that makes this pain mean something about me. And it's that layer that is the real troublemaker, not the pain itself.
No, but I'm distinguishing between physical pain, so something from coming from the body, and let's call it mental pain or discomfort. And I'm talking mental pain. I mean, physical pain, if you cut your hand, then there will be pain. So
I'm talking about mental pain or emotional pain as well. It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's exactly the same thing, you see. Because there can sometimes be some emotion that is felt, and even a thought story around it. But none of that means anything about you.
And when I come to, I have the observation that emotions are created by some kind of judgment mechanisms. That's how I can express it. So there are certain beliefs, this is normal and this is better and this is worse. And when there is a delta from normal, then when it's in the positive direction, then a good feeling comes. When it is in the negative direction, a bad feeling comes. And somehow, over time, this all, when seen through, it gets more peaceful. That's
yes, but but you can't manufacture that. You see,
no.
When there's an emotional story, some belief or some judgment, that is absolutely okay to be there. It doesn't mean anything about you. It doesn't mean that you are judgmental.
Yes.
No?
Judgment is happening, yeah?
It's just happening. You're not in control of it. You didn't do something wrong.
Yes.
You know? It's just happening. And that's what I mean. You know, it doesn't mean anything about you. So if you find that thought comes up with some kind of judgment, and then there's an emotion that follows with that, none of that is your fault.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. It happens.
It's just the way it is, yeah. So but the belief that, I shouldn't be judging, that's why I'm feeling this pain, because I'm judging. You know, that belief is the troublemaker. You know, because that belief makes this judgment mean something about me. It means that I'm not good enough because I'm judging. You know, I'm not spiritual enough or open enough.
I get the point, yeah.
Yeah.
I get the point.
Yeah.
This is,
so if it's free to be there, if this judgment's just okay to be there, you know, because the nature of thought is to be judging a lot of the time.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. It's not you. You're not judgment.
Yeah.
You are just simply noticing thought.
Exactly, yeah. So
noticing the judgment. Yeah, the thought sometimes it judges, and with that comes an emotion sometimes, and it can be painful.
Sure.
It's not your fault. You know, it's about recognizing that this too is not you. It's nothing to do with you. It doesn't mean anything. And actually recognizing again and again that this too doesn't mean anything about me, that the byproduct of that is that the judging and the emotion and all of that does seem to lessen. But if you're trying to do this to make it lessen, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. It automatically comes. That's my experience. So
that's why I'm saying that there is absolute freedom for there to be judgment, freedom for there to be discomfort, pain, fear. You know, any thought story, you know, any belief is free to be there.
Mm.
You know? And in the meetings and retreats that I run, it's not about saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't believe that. It's seeing, oh, okay, there's that belief there. And that belief is simply a belief. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to be there, but it's a joke. You know, it doesn't mean anything. Because who is it talking about even? Who's it referring to? So that's, in those investigations and dialogues that we have, we're kind of shining a light on these beliefs and seeing the reality of them without trying to change anything. It's totally free to be there and to continue being believed even.
Yeah, just shining lights on these belief systems and belief structures and see them as what they are.
Yeah, that's all. And then actually I noticed that something happens on its own, that you don't need to get involved. You don't need to try to change anything. And life naturally wants to open and open. That seems to be the nature of life, that it can't help but just fall in love with itself more and more and open and open and open. It wants more and more freedom. You know, that just seems to be the nature of it. So if a light is shined on one of these restricting beliefs, then the reality is seen, and it's seen that actually there is no restriction there. It's just a believed in restriction. Oh, I'm already free. Of course I am. How ridiculous. And then it kind of works its own magic. You don't need to bother.
Yeah, and then another belief might come. And then same game.
That's why I say it's a kind of never-ending unraveling. You never arrive anywhere. It's a continual losing everything that you've ever believed in.
Yeah.
And never, ever arriving anywhere.
Do you travel to India? Are you one of those persons who go to Tiruvannamalai in the winter time, or?
I haven't normally done that, but actually it's funny that you should ask, because I've just arranged to go there this January. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I plan to be there for 2 weeks, holding meetings. In Tiruvannamalai, and I've never done that before, so we'll see how it goes.
Did you have a searching period like many seekers had or have? So I hear of stories, people go for decades. That's what we hear. Yeah? So what I hear. So did you have such a period? Or?
Well, in a way you could say that I did, but I really recognized this as a child. Yeah. And then I thought that there was something wrong with me, because I didn't know how to be in the world, really. I didn't know how to be a person. I didn't believe in this relative world. And when I saw other people taking this world so seriously, I assumed that I had a problem, you know, that there must have been something missing with me, that I didn't find an identity, and so I went in search of an identity.
Oh, the other way around then.
Yeah.
this is an interesting one.
yeah. And of course, I never found a perfect identity. I tried a few, Yeah. But, yeah, I never found
that. This must be terrible.
So actually, in recognizing that actually who I am has been always here, you know, never needed an identity. That was what happened for me. Really, it was a relaxation in that search for an identity. You know, oh, I don't need to find an identity. I don't need to ever have an identity.
Hmm.
You know, I am life itself. I don't need to squash myself into some limited identity.
Hmm. somehow this searching dynamics itself is the problem, no matter from which direction one searches.
Yeah, and it can start very young, you know, the searching. Not necessarily spiritually, but I see, you know, people tell me all kinds of stories.
Sure, you don't know who you are, then you ask your parents, who am I, what about death, and then the whole
drama.
The stage is prepared. Nobody knows, and you're not happy with the answer, and there must be more, and I'm not good enough, and Just ideas.
Yeah.
Fear of death, body dies, body will die. What about that one?
Yeah, I hear, you know, people say that the body will die. I don't know.
Okay. I like that one. Huh? Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it's another imagination that could be a problem. Huh?
What's that?
It's another imagination or idea that could be a problem. Mind is a great inventor.
Wonderful. Wonderful, but, you know, it's so creative.
Yeah.
Endless creation. Beautiful, actually. The creation of various problems, you know.
Not even scenarios. I mean,
scenarios and...
It superimposes a reality on... And yet a fantastic tool to solve problems, to keep this body alive.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. So often people think that I'm being very down on the mind, you know, that somehow, you know, the mind has no place. But actually the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of thought is to think and to create and to classify and to imagine and dream, and, you know, and it's amazing how it does that. It's just useless when it comes to recognizing who you are.
Mm.
But with everything else, it's fantastic.
That's a nice way of putting it, yeah. Totally useless for recognizing who you are.
Oh.